Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop in today and check out store-wide savings plus earn double points on over 225 items. It's our way of saying thank you. If you're not already a member, sign up today during O'Rewards Member Appreciation Month. It's fast, easy, and free. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Tuesday edition of the Gym Class coming up here on KGYM. We're going to talk baseball with Cal Eldred, the former major leaguer. That'll be coming up here in just a little bit. Kirk Ferentz met the media earlier on today in Iowa City, and we will discuss what Kirk had to say. And also, we will revisit a couple Monday Night Football games coming up from last night. All that and more, Tuesday edition of the Gym Class coming your way here on KGYM. Hi and welcome, Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes. Alex Kuhn, our producer. As I mentioned a little bit earlier on, Kirk Ferentz met the media today in preparation for Iowa and North Dakota States coming up on Saturday at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City. Yesterday, Matt Campbell met the media as Iowa State gets ready to open up Big 12 play as they take on the TCU Horned Frogs from down in Fort Worth. We'll talk more about that that game coming up tomorrow on the show with one of the beat writers for TCU football. That'll be coming up on the Wednesday edition of the program here today. If you'd like to drop us a line, we encourage you to do so, and you can do it via the Jerry K. Ask Investment Services text line at 319-366-1600. Let us know what you think on the Jerry Ask text line. Again, 319-366-1600. And you can check out their website at jkainvest.com. That's all one word, jkainvest.com. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon. Did you stay up for the late Monday night game? Wasn't much of a game.
No. We had it here on KGYM. First of all, apologies going out to the Iowa State folks. We had a glitch on 1600 last night, and we did not have the Cyclone call-in show, and we do apologize for that. Don't have that happen very often at all, but did happen last night, so our apologies going out to Cyclone fans out there. I listened in to most of the game last night. And I was pretty happy I did listen to most of the game last night as far as Monday Night Football was concerned. We had the second game last night, San Francisco and the Rams, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it by saying it was a good game because it wasn't a good game. The LA Rams and Cleveland right now, more than likely the worst two teams as far as the National Football League is concerned. And, of course, everyone, a lot of the pundits around the nation believe that the Rams are going to jump up and beat Seattle again coming up this weekend if Russell Wilson does not play.
That's in Los Angeles.
It is in Los Angeles. It is the season home opener, franchise home opener, re-home opener, if you will, whatever the case may be. And they just didn't look good last night. Pittsburgh did look good. Man alive, they look good.
Very
last
good.
Night.
Yeah.
I was really, really impressed by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Without Le'Veon Bell, without Heath Miller, without a couple of other people as well. And I thought the Redskins would put up a little bit better fight than they did last night. But good job. Very much. Just terrific football put out by the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go. But, did you hear last night? We are an affiliate of Westwood One, a proud affiliate of Westwood One, and with two games that had a 58-point spread between the two, this by far the highlight of the night, in case you did not hear this last night on Monday Night Football.
Third and four, looks into the nickel of San Francisco in the secondary. Hey, somebody has run out on the field.
some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest.
What a
guy
call.
Runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms, bare-chested. Somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Here comes the blue coat.
Oh,
Kevin.
They got him.
Here comes
coming
the blue
from the left. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
Oh, that was the most exciting thing to happen tonight.
I tell you what, that was a great call on your part. That was a great call. All right, I'm ready for the last 11:31 now, Kevin. Let's go.
Look at the police. They've surrounded this man like he is... Like he's just robbed a bank.
I tell you what, he got a whole lap in
he
before
did, yes.
they got him. I mean, that was pretty good. I expected him to go down much sooner.
Yeah. But I hope it was worth it, my friend, because you've got a night in the clink coming up.
Great call from Westwood One.
Most announcers will just say, oh, there's somebody on the field. You know, they'll catch him. But Kevin Harlan embraced it and ran with it, so to speak.
Did. Kevin Harlan from Westwood One, of course. You heard that last night on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. KGYM. And yes, Kevin Harlan, much more pleasant to listen to than Berman. I can tell you that last night. Yeah, that was the highlight of the Rams and the 49ers game, because there wasn't a whole lot more than that. Yeah. And that that was a better play-by-play call than 95% of the announcers in America that Kevin Harlan had last night.
Have you ever had anything like that happen in your career?
No.
I mean, you mainly got high school games, but...
Right. But no, never had.
Nothing odd like that.
Nothing odd. Nothing odd ever happening like that. But that was a whole lot of fun. That was... and yes, the guy... And by the way, it was Kurt Warner, Cedar Rapids native Kurt Warner. That was the color commentator for the broadcast last night. And he was in there talking... Ah, the blue coats are going to get him now. They got him. Oh, man. We don't encourage activity like that, by the way, here on the program. We just don't do that. So, please, heed that warning. Don't do that. 10 minutes, almost 11 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here on KGYM. We're going to talk to Cal Eldred coming up here in just a little bit. Kirk Ferentz met the media earlier on today. Alex is getting that audio ready to go, and APC will have that for you coming up here after the 4 o'clock hour. Twins baseball, Twins and the Tigers. Twins can play spoiler tonight, as we'll join that game in progress beginning at 7 o'clock tonight on the North Gym, 107.5 FM, KGYM. Speaking of Twins baseball, kudos and a tip of the hat, as old Brooksy would say, a tip of the fedora, to our own Cedar Rapids Colonels, whose season came to an end last night, the Class A Midwest League affiliate of the Minnesota Twins, and a 1-0 loss in 11 innings to the Clinton Lumber Kings. Clinton, terrific team this year they have over there. They're going to try to win their first crown, I think, since 91. Colonels have not won since 94, but that was just a great game last night as well, going down to the 11th inning before the home team came away with the walk-off victory.
Yeah, 1-0, a loss for the Cedar Rapids Colonels. 81 victories this season for Cedar Rapids, and another fine season, but just couldn't get over the hump this time and get into the finals. As you mentioned, Clinton, I think, far and away the best team, at least in the division, if not in the whole league. But Cedar Rapids fought them tooth and nail, and I don't know, that's a tough way to go down, but that's baseball.
That is baseball. It ends so quickly when it ends, and that's exactly what happened to the Colonels last night. But nothing to hang their head about. I guess the question is, what's going to happen? What is the Colonels' on-field representation going to look like next year with everything going on in the Twin Cities right now with new people being brought in, it sounds like, in the offseason? Is Jake Maurer going to be back? My first inclination is I don't think he's going to be back here next year. He's been here 4 years, I believe, all 4 years that the Twins and the Colonels have been affiliated with one another. That's a pretty long run for a minor league manager. in one spot. And I just don't see him. I just don't see him back next year. I know he wants to move up. And, you know, for I'd love to see Jake back here. He's a great guy, but I'd like to see him move up in the organization.
He deserves to move up. He's been a fine manager and a fine representative of Cedar Rapids while he's been here. And those of us in the media, terrific to work with. Don't work with him a whole lot, but just very accessible and very, very forthcoming in his answers and straightforward guy. And knows his baseball, obviously. And it'd be great for Cedar Rapids if he was back.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I don't think he will either.
Absolutely. I would tend to agree with you. I think we've probably seen Jake manage his last game as far as the Cedar Rapids Colonels are concerned. Now, back to Iowa City. Kirk Ferentz meeting the media today. Not a whole lot earth-shattering coming out of there. He did mention Manny Rugamba is now the number three corner behind the two starters, Desmond King and Greg Maben. He compared North Dakota State to a Big Ten team, which I think is very truthful out there. They run basically a Big Ten-type offense, although more and more teams are going to that spread and the high tempo, the quick tempo offense. Also said he likes to keep track of who North Dakota State recruits so that he can take a look at those guys. Oh, by the way, Exhibit A would be Sean Beyer, who was committed to play for North Dakota State before he changed his mind when Kirk Ferentz and Iowa went in there at the last 23rd hour and got Sean Beyer in a Hawkeye uniform.
We know North Dakota State's track record, five-time national champion, and victors over several FBS schools in recent years. This season, there have been seven FCS schools knock off FBS teams. Will this be the eighth? Poll question today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. Question is, do you believe North Dakota State can beat Iowa this Saturday? Yes or no?
Go ahead and vote, KGYMradio.com. Let us know what you think out there. And as we mentioned before, you can get in touch with us with the text line, the Jerry Ask text line at 319-366-1600.
We'll see how many folks in Fargo vote.
Yeah, speaking of that, Iowa administrators saying today that upwards of 7,000 Bison fans are expected, more than Iowa State brought down from Ames and the surrounding areas, just Iowa State people in general, as it's pretty big green and gold army that's going to be coming down here to Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City in mass coming up at the end of the week.
Great fan base, there's no question about it. And when 7,000 people drive 8 hours one way to see their team, that says something. I know my daughter lives in Fargo, and it's not easy to get from here to there. Either drive 8 hours or pay a pretty good plane ticket price.
Yes.
There's no question.
It's good 12 hours. 10 hours to Bemidji, a couple hours more to Fargo.
I figured it was 8. Maybe it's more.
Oh, it's more, is it? Mark. Trust me, it's more. yeah, there's no easy way to get to Fargo. No easy way to get to Fargo.
As you mentioned, not a whole lot of news coming out of Iowa City, but Mark Morehouse of the Gazette, frequent guest of our show and the Afternoon Players Club, tweeted that he talked with Iowa Deputy Director of Athletics Gene Taylor. And Mark feels there's something maybe in the works for 2019, possibly a neutral site game with a Power 5 school.
Yeah, we'll see. And I know the guys in APC had a really nice discussion yesterday about that. Very interesting. Couple things to remember about that. Number one, I believe, paraphrasing Kirk Ferentz, after the, I believe it was the Arizona game, was that correct, the last time Iowa went out west? If you're thinking Pac-12, that's probably not going to happen.
Storm-delayed game, and then they got buried.
And Kirk said, basically, we are not going to play one of these games again. So I think you can scratch out the Pac-12. Could Iowa play maybe a one neutral site game, just a one-off, if you will? Yeah, sure. I hate the idea of Iowa and Iowa State not playing. This state needs to have Iowa and Iowa State play each and every year, period. It's just good for the fan bases. It is good for the economy. It is good for everything.
You want your team to play an FBS school? Well, Iowa State is an FBS school.
Yes.
It's not Iowa's fault that Iowa State is in the doldrums right now. And you know, there was a time with McCarney and a couple others that obviously Iowa State has beaten Iowa 10 out of the last 21 times. So I'm not for getting rid of the game either. I mean, this thing was renewed in 1977. It's been going strong for 40 years, I think. And to go away from that, I would disagree with.
Bring 70,000 and 61,000 easily to each and every matchup between Iowa and Iowa State. And then you have everything else tied in with it. I'm not a big fan of, you know, the corporate side of things taking over sports, but you have a big-time sponsor for the Iowa-Iowa State series. You get rid of football, you think they're going to hang on as the sponsor of that series? No way. I wouldn't do that. And also, be careful what you wish for, Hawkeye fans, because if you remember the last time you went fishing for, oh, we got to play somebody. We got to get a bigger fish out there. Yeah, the Miami Hurricanes were on Iowa's schedule for 2 years. How did that go, Mark? You were covering them back
then? I was. Gino Toretta came into Iowa City. I remember that, the quarterback, and handled Iowa. Listen, Iowa's played, in addition to Iowa State, it's played Kansas State. It had a recent series with Pittsburgh, a series with Syracuse.
It was a great series with Pittsburgh.
I mean, granted, they're not Alabama and LSU, but they're more high-profile FBS schools. Our friend Joel in Muscatine on the text line has a suggestion. Let's play Colorado in Mile High, a Pac-12 team without the West Coast trip.
It's doable. That's doable. Although that would be a home game for Colorado and the Buffs. You put them in Mile High.
It's pretty easy to get to Denver from here, isn't it?
Home and home, one in Mile High and one at Arrowhead.
Yeah.
It's happened before. Or Iowa. Mm. Kansas State post Bill Snyder.
Went out of home and home.
At Arrowhead. But how many times do you see a home and home anymore?
Right.
Especially if the Iowa fan base wants one of the big boys. If they want one of the big boys, it's not going to be a home and home.
I always thought, and we've been down this road, Missouri is a natural, but Missouri backed out of that game many years ago.
Yeah, and there's still some mixed feelings, I think, with Mizzou.
Alex, our producer, Alex Kuhn, points out Colorado has been worse than Iowa State recently.
Yeah. They play Michigan coming up this weekend.
That's the whole thing when you schedule these games.
You don't know.
You don't know.
No. When Iowa put Miami, Ohio on the schedule, they were just coming off Ben Roethlisberger's era.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think anybody had any idea that they were going to be as bad as they are now. Northern Illinois. You mentioned the fact that Northern Illinois was in the midst of their terrific run back in the day when a lot of these games coming up in the next few years got scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like a pretty good deal back then when Northern Illinois went to the Orange Bowl.
Didn't know that Jordan Lynch was going to be around.
Yeah.
A few more texts on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, 366-1600, 1238. Maybe if they played out west, they would be more prepared for the Rose Bowl. 27-45, it doesn't matter what Iowa State's record is against Iowa. What Iowa State does the rest of the year, that's what matters. Sam Kinsley, our former colleague, 1266, totally agrees, Scott. They must play. I love the series. Remember how competitive it was from 1998 to now. If Iowa State loses to Iowa but gets to a bowl game, it helps Iowa's bowl prospects. If Iowa State beats Iowa, it can only help them get to a bowl game.
Absolutely. For one game does not a trend make, Mark Dukes.
True enough. 35-22, would love to see Notre Dame. Never going to happen.
That's never going to happen.
47-02, pointing out Iowa only played Miami once. I think that's right.
It was something like 28-0, 35-0, something. It was a shutout. I remember that.
I remember being there. It was a night game. I don't remember the score. We'll dig it up.
Yeah, we'll get that. Played in a few of the non-exempt games back in the day when there were only 11 regular season games and you would get one of those non-exempt games. I remember the Iowa-Tennessee game back at the Meadowlands.
Covered it out in New York. Tie.
Yeah.
A tie. Iowa played three quarterbacks that day.
Wasn't that the game with the pitch that was returned for a touchdown?
It was indeed. Dan McGuire, Chuck Hartley, Tom Pajolski all played in that game.
Tom Pajolski. I remember that. 23 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. I was not going out to the West Coast again, everybody. Arizona, Arizona State, UCLA, any of those, home and home, it ain't going to happen. Kirk Ferentz pretty much said that after the last debacle when Iowa went out there. 23 past 3, we're going to take a break. Keep the text coming. We'll get to them after we talk to Cal Eldred here, but we're going to talk some baseball when we return with the former major leaguer, Cal Eldred. We do that on Tuesdays. We'll do it next here on KGYM.
Come one, come all to Bruno's, the trendiest, tastiest evening in all the land. Raise a glass and toast the National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library during this beer-tasting extravaganza and fundraiser on October 7th. Sample international beers, cider, wine, and spirits while enjoying scrumptious hors d'oeuvres prepared by local chefs. And once you're in the door, it's all you can eat and drink. Bruno's, October 7th at the National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library in Cedar Rapids. Get your tickets now at ncsml.org.
Doing what you like requires just two things, time and money. You can find both right now at PMX Industries. They're based in Cedar Rapids and have full-time positions available right now. When you work for PMX, you'll be working 3 and 4 day work weeks, which means more time to do what you and your family like and more money to make it all happen. See how easy it is to work full-time at PMX Industries and still have plenty of time and money to do what you and your family love. Learn more at ipmx.com. That's the letter I, PMX.com.
Two hosts born and raised in Eastern Iowa, talking Eastern Iowa sports. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class, KGYM.
24, make it 25, past the hour at 3 o'clock. We're going to talk to Cal Eldred coming up here in just a moment. Mark, we did the research. I don't enjoy this very often. With my 4-8 record, I've been looking at on the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6 board, but I was correct.
1990, Iowa played at Miami and lost 48-21. And in 1992, Miami came to Iowa City and dealt Iowa 24-7 loss.
And it was 24-0 basically until the end of the game. Mm. Iowa scored pretty much at the gun in that one. So, but Miami was, they were one of the big boys back then. That was.
Were they independent then?
No.
No?
I'd have to check.
I threw something else out there that we can't answer.
I'd have to check on that. Cal Eldred set to join us right now. We shift ever so slightly from football to baseball as we get into the midpoint of the month of September. Not very many games left in the regular season. Cal, how are you?
Great. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. Doing fantastic, and we're coming right down to it. In fact, we could have a playoff team decided here in the next couple of days. It's just a matter of when the Cubs are going to clinch the National League Central.
Well, there's no question. You look at the way they've played, and 40, if I've got this right, they are 41 games over 500.
Yes.
That is seriously impressive. And in a division, I think, guys, that we really thought would be a lot tighter. Pittsburgh has not played well of late. The starting pitching woes that they've had, some other injuries they've had. I really feel like them trading Melanson was a bad move because they go to some other people in their pen at the end of the game, and he's gone. But the Chicago Cubs, you got to give them a lot of credit. The St. Louis Cardinals have not even been able to really make a run at them. And right now, they have a 17-game lead.
Yeah. Well, they got it to 6 about a month and a half ago, and then the Cubs just they took off and won this thing, just blew it wide open. And another great performance last night. Kyle Hendricks, man, alive, had the no-hitter going in into the ninth inning last night.
Well, and he's just – he does – and I know I read an article today, and there are a lot of there's been tons of comparisons to Hendricks to Greg Maddux, and I know the analyst for the Cubs, Jim DeShays, said this. There's no question this is a Maddux-like performance this year by Hendricks, but you also he says now you need to do it for 20 years.
Yeah,
and you know that that's not an easy task, but we got to remember Hendricks is only in his second full season. And he's a smart player, a smart pitcher. I think he sees a lot of things that hitters do as they react to his pitches. You see him shake off, and he seems like so many times he goes to the right pitch, but everything looks like his fastball, and especially his changeup. And I know you guys have heard me say time and time again to the young listeners out there, if you want to pitch, learn how to throw a changeup. Make it look like your fastball. That is the pitch that hitters cannot stand.
Change speeds. That's what it's all about. Keep them guessing.
It doesn't matter if it's 96 to 86 or 86 to 76. Hendricks has been able to make that probably 90, probably 85 to 90 mile an hour fastball work.
I'm going to give you two words, Cal. You tell me your thoughts. Joe West.
Oh, man. I'll tell you.
Does he make up the rules as it goes along or what? What's a mound visit?
Yeah, pretty much. It's everybody knows, first of all, that he's umpiring, and that's the way he likes it.
You betcha.
I don't think he could have any better situation than being on national television, being behind home plate, and having a kid performing like Hendricks was last night. And, you know, I just think that's his – he thinks people are tuning in to watch him. And not only that, but if you – as a player, as a former player and playing in games that he has umpired, the way he treats players, the way he treats managers, the disrespectful way he goes about doing things with the game, it's very disappointing. And when you watch as many minor league games as I have watched in over the last few years, there's somebody else that's more deserving of this. And, you know, give them the job.
Yeah.
Could he really have charged Montero with a mound visit? He insists he did it to La Russa a few years ago.
Yeah, he acts like a person who does not like his job, but he sure likes the limelight of his job, and that's the frustration. And he's lost sight of the idea that if you didn't know if the umpire's name was never said throughout a game, then that was probably a successful game for an umpire. And yeah, he seems to make up his own rules. He wants to move the game along. He doesn't, you know. And there's one thing: umpires are they are told that they need to move games along, get batters in the batter's box. Don't let catchers take, you know, try to get catchers not to take three or four trips to the mound in an inning. But in a tight situation like that last night, and the situation that was happening, you know, you've got to give a little leeway, and Joe doesn't.
He's kind of the end of an era as far as umpiring is concerned. He and Bob Davidson, Balk and Bob out there, where I think you're right. The majority of the umpires back in that day thought they were the show, and I thank goodness it has changed for the most part. I think we've gotten pretty much a new crop of umpires in there. But Joe West, he's hanging on. He is the linchpin of that group, and he will let you know he is in charge back there. And yeah, something usually strange happens in games that he is umpiring.
Absolutely. And if there's an argument, or one of the things he does a lot is he'll stare managers down or coaches down or players down when it's something that you just let go. You just turn your back on it and let it go. But he does, you know, in giving him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, guys, he was umpiring games when most games were not on television.
True.
And a lot of this stuff was not caught. I can remember being in Milwaukee County Stadium and our whole dugout dying laughing at Ken Kaiser, who was umpiring down at first base. And the umpire pointed down to ask him if the hitter had actually gone, if he had swung or not. And it was really, really cold in Milwaukee. I know you guys find that shocking, but it was freezing. Ken had his hands in his pants And instead of taking his hand out and saying yes or no, he kicked his foot up in the air and said yes. So I don't know if we should give Joe a little bit of the benefit of the doubt or not, but that actually did happen.
Cal, I continue to watch games and marvel how inconsistent the umpires are with the strike zone. I was watching the Twins last night, and they throw up the strike zone box, and this thing was 3-4 inches up and away or up and in from the strike zone, and that's not the reason the Twins lost, that's for sure. But maybe we should not put that strike zone thing up on the screen. I don't know. Maybe that's one thing that we should. Should get away from. I enjoy it personally, but human error is part of the game, part of the sports. I don't know what can be done about it. I mean, it must be frustrating for both pitchers and hitters.
Yeah, and then it really comes to and I've seen this push. If you watch MLB Network at all, you're seeing the push by a lot of the analytical guys and sabermetric guys. Let's go to electronic strike zone. I got to draw the line there. And I think that's what you're saying, Mark. Umpires usually have their own strike zone, and it's usually not too far out of the normal strike zone, and hitters have to adjust to it and pitchers have to adjust to it. So that's the physical, ability to change. That's something you have to deal with in the game. But with the box on television, and I've talked to people who do put these up too, doing the TV stuff I've done in the past, and they're not always accurate, and it's not always 100% accurate.
Right.
Even if you watch games, when people watch games, take a look at the angle that the camera is behind the pitcher, and we never see it. Never in a regular broadcast do we fully get right behind the pitcher. If you do, the angle's up so high, then all those pitches that are actually strikes look too low, and so it's hard to get that angle right behind the pitcher and have TV show everything of the hitter. So I'm not for going to that. I don't know what you guys are your opinion is, but those are a lot of the reasons why I'd be for not putting that strike zone up there. Because it does make the umpires look bad. It incites a lot of anger at times on the benches because they're getting that same feed close to the bench now, especially with all the replay calls.
No, don't get me wrong. I don't want an electronic replay.
I don't either.
I guess it's just part of the game, but I guess I just ask from your viewpoint after being a pitcher in the major leagues and then watching some of the hitters and how they have to adjust as well.
Yeah, I'd rather I don't necessarily need to see that strike zone at all. I really don't, because I like watching the game and starting in the game, and you'll see a hitter lots of times. If people are paying attention, you'll see a pitch that a hitter thinks is borderline, whether it's down or outside or inside, and you see the hitter turn to the umpire and say something. Most of the time, they're not complaining. They just want to know from the umpire, is that as low as it's going to go? Mm-hmm. Is that as far out as it's going to go or as far in as it's going to go? And that way the hitter then knows that's my gauge. So if he goes below that, I have reason to complain.
Mm. You want consistency. That's what it's all about. And when an umpire is a high strike caller, a low strike caller, don't give me that electronic stuff. Cal Elder joining us at 3:37, Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here in KGYM. And Cal, let's get back to on the field. Before we leave the National League, let's talk about the Washington Nationals a little bit. I think they're flying under the radar right now. They got 86 wins. They're only 6 wins behind the Cubs at this point. I guess talk about that. The A question and the B question piggybacked on top of that. But what about Steven Strasburg? Can the Nationals win a pennant or a World Series if they don't have Steven Strasburg?
Well, I think the answer to whether they can do it without Strasburg or not is, what are they going to get from one of their youngsters, such as Cole? Or is Gio Gonzalez actually going to pitch like he's capable of pitching? And those are the things that, those are the questions. You're exactly right, Scott. If Strasburg's not there, that's a huge, he was going to be one of their playoff guys, no question. Maybe, obviously, they're probably their number two behind Scherzer. But you look at him not being there, one of those other guys are going to have to step up. And their offense, Trey Turner's really helped their offense. This young kid is something fun to watch, and it's taken a lot of the pressure off of some of the other players offensively on their club. So offensively, I think they could be fine. The other issue for them is their defense. When they play defense and they play catch and do it well, they're an awful tough team to beat. But you hit the nail on the head, Scott. If Strasburg's not there, that's going to be awful tough. But they have that guy I was talking about that's no longer a Pittsburgh Pirate, Melanson, at the end of the bullpen. And you know what? That their pen's a lot better this year than it has been in the past.
A few days ago, Cal, I looked up and said, Boston's in first place? Wow. I mean, Toronto had been there for a pretty good period of time and may well get back there, but Boston, a two-game lead in the East, and they're getting a lot of work done on the road.
And that's a huge for them because they just started a series back at home against Baltimore and then the Yankees. And if you look at what they've done in 10 or 5 out of their last 10 games, they've done what they've been doing all year. They scored double digits, 5 out of the last 10 games. And the other thing that has been much better for them is their starting pitching. You got Pomerantz going tonight, and their starting pitching has been so much better. You look at Price. David Price has won 7 games in a row. Now he's doing, as a starter, what they thought he would do. Now, obviously, he's won a lot of games this year, partly because early on he won games when he wasn't pitching well and they scored a lot. But now if their bullpen can stay strong, then Boston offensively can slug with anybody. But if their starting pitching continues to be well or pitch well, that's why they could possibly win this division. The Yankees have played extremely well. Toronto's always going to be in it. But I think Boston has just as much as anybody else in this division to win it.
This is probably an unfair question. Is the American League better than the National League? Right now? More teams? Whoop. Cal, you there? Whoop, we lost Cal on his cell phone. We'll get him back on there. He didn't like my question.
You're saying the depth.
Right.
The depth of the league. Because it's pretty clear the Cubs are with the best record.
More good teams in the American League than the National League right now.
Interesting.
There are only 6 teams above 500 in the National League.
Yeah, yeah.
You got Boston, Toronto, Baltimore, the Yankees, Cleveland, Detroit, Kansas City, Texas, Seattle, Houston. There are a lot of good teams. I think we got Cal back here. Cal, you there?
Yes, I had such great points about Boston, Mark. I don't know if you guys heard any of them.
We got most of that, yeah.
Yes, we did. I asked you, as soon as you were done with that, this is a tough question to field, I know, but is the American League better than the National League?
Guys, when you look at it and the number of teams, and you look back at the top 5 lists that we've had, and I wanted to, I put the Dodgers in last year, or last week, but I mean, right now, I feel like if Boston would play the Dodgers, Boston's coming out on top. The Nationals have been, like you said, they've been a little bit of a surprise, and they've got 86 wins right now. But can the Nationals beat Texas? Can they beat Cleveland? The cream of the crop this year has been the Cubs. But I do. I think right now that the American League has more better teams than the National League. And I think the depth in the American League, as far as quality teams that would do some damage, if you would take some of these American League teams and put them in the playoffs in the National League, understanding you've got to take your DH out, but I still think the American League, there'd be some teams in the American League that would fare pretty well in the playoffs in the National League.
Brian Dozier, your American League home run champion. How's that sound?
Oh, my God. I mean, that's crazy. So I hit another one last night.
Yes, he did.
I mean, this guy, and it's just proof. And Mark, am I right? Minnesota's not the easiest place to hit home runs.
No, it isn't.
No, not at all.
It just is not. So the fans have to understand what he's able to do. And in my mind, I keep playing back being in Jupiter, Florida, sitting in the stands, going through a scout school, and watching him at second base. And he's the guy that I have to cover. And what's he going to turn into? And I was just impressed when he got to the plate of his selection of what pitches he was swinging at and what he wasn't. And now he's gotten to the point to where he understands that he can take two really, really healthy cuts and still be able to put the ball in play because he knows his strike zone. You brought it up last week, Mark, which is a great point, that he also can hit that elevated fastball. And a lot of guys who are not very tall cannot put barrel on that ball and stay on top of it, and he does. He's an exceptional player. He's fun to watch.
I think what I've seen, too, Cal, is in the leadoff position, some of his home runs have come on that first pitch. And that I don't understand why more players don't sit on that first pitch. It's coming right down the middle.
Well, and neither does Ricky Henderson. Ricky used to do that a ton. Kenny Lofton with the Cleveland Indians started to do that. Alcides Escobar with Kansas City, jumping on that first pitch. The whole idea of going to the plate in the major leagues is to get a fastball that you can handle. And if they think that they can handle that first pitch heater, look, we're throwing a first strike. That's what pitchers think. That's what we're taught. Throw a first strike and take your chances. And when you got a swing like Dozier, you got a swing like Ricky Henderson, and you can barrel it up, more power to you.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's going to be interesting to see who's going to make the American League playoffs. This thing's going to go down. We could have a playoff to get into the playoffs, to be quite honest with you, and I wouldn't be shocked at all if that happens in the American League.
No, I wouldn't either. And I don't think the American League East is over. I don't think Boston's necessarily just going to walk away with this thing now. So you look at what they can do, what Toronto can do. Toronto's used to playing at this time of the year in tight ball games. Baltimore is too. They just haven't been able to come through as much. And I feel like I don't know if Detroit, you look at a six-game lead, I don't know that they're going to catch Cleveland because I think Cleveland's starting pitching, even though they lose Salazar, you're questioning is that going to hurt them. But Kluber's pitching so good for them right now. And I'd almost be surprised if we didn't have a playoff when it comes to the wild card team also. And we may have the same thing in the National League. Because the Cardinals aren't playing as good, and now the Mets are playing good.
What's going to happen? This is going to get really diluted if you have two or three teams tied for the wild card, and you got to have multiple games before you even have the play. You could throw your number one guy, maybe even your number two guy. You have to throw your number three guy in the actual playoff game. It's conceivable.
And that's why you see the good teams. That's why it's so important. We talked about this with the Royals organization. The Royals won the World Series, and they got the least amount of innings pitched by their starting pitchers over the course of the regular season. That's almost unheard of. And when you look at the teams, you look at the Cubs, they're asking themselves, who are we going to start? You've got Lester and Lackey who have so much playoff experience. And believe me, I'll start John Lester in any playoff game. That guy, he just finds a way to get it done. But you look at the teams that have success, and you've got to have strikeout pitchers and depth in your rotation to win in the playoffs unless you have that dynamic bullpen, and that's how the Royals were able to win and win a World Series and get into the World Series back-to-back years. But it takes its toll. It really does. And the advantage to the playoffs, and Scott, you said this last week, you get days off, and that really helps your bullpen guys come back. But to have that starting pitcher or two that can throw a complete game, if you have to win two games, a playoff play-in game, and then your wild card game, and you got your number three going at the beginning of the division series, man, you've got to have starting pitching depth.
Okay, Cal, fill us in on your top five this week. See if there's many changes.
Well, there is a change, and you guys are sharp. You know, you get me. At number five, the Dodgers are out, and Boston is in. You've got to give them credit. We'll see how they go, because this next week and a half, next week we're going to have a pretty good idea they play that home series against Baltimore and the Yankees, and then they go to Baltimore and to New York. So we'll see where they're going to be standing here in about a week and a half. But you got to give them credit. They've gotten up to a 2-game lead, and they're 7-3 in their last 10. And then it looks the same, guys. I thought about putting the Nationals a little bit higher, but most of their games that they've played have been against Atlanta and Philadelphia. And so those are that they've won 4 in a row, and they should win those games. I've got Cleveland at number 3, Texas at number 2. Look, they've been beating Houston head-to-head, and they've got to continue to do that to stay there. But at the top of the list, guys, 92-51, the Chicago Cubs.
And almost a no-hitter last night. And they are magic numbers at 3. So we'll see if they can get it done in St. Louis tomorrow afternoon. That would be the first earliest chance they would have to clinch the National League Central coming up tomorrow. And that wouldn't play well in St. Louis, would it?
And really, guys, what a time to be a fan of in Eastern Iowa. You have so many Cub fans who are almost also Hawkeye fans, and they're living the life right now.
Yes, they are. Hey, appreciate it, Cal. We'll talk to you coming up next Tuesday.
You bet. Stay up late and watch the baseball.
There you go. Great advice right there. Thanks, Cal. 3:49 here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. We will take a break. We'll take more of your texts as well about schedules for the University of Iowa football. We kind of touched upon that a little bit earlier on. Want to remind you, coming up on the APC from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock, Todd and Tyler will have a chance for you to win a $30 gift card to La Cantina. Dine in or carry out at either location, downtown Cedar Rapids or in the Lincoln View Square in Marion. Check out their delicious menu, hours, and drink specials online at LaCantina319.com. And check them out. A great place. You can watch the Hawks play there as well. They've got a dollar domestic drafts, $5 appetizers all game long. That's at La Cantina. We will take a break, come back. Have more for you after this.
Who says cars have to act their age? Gear up for fall driving this Thursday through Sunday at Firestone Complete Auto Care. For a limited time, you can save big, like $100 off any purchase of $500 or more. Firestone Complete Auto Care. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Offer valid September 15th through 18th on any purchase. Most vehicles. In-store installation required. Maximum savings $100. $50 minimum purchase required for tiered offers. See store or driveafirestone.com for full details.
Progressive presents Mindfulness with Flo.
Your mind is a blank slate as you enter total relaxation. Safe driver, paperless, multi-car. They are wrapping their savings around you. Like the tinfoil that wraps around your hot dog at a ball game, which for some reason costs $12.50.
Switch to Progressive and surround yourself with savings. Visit Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Did you know the flu shot takes up to 2 weeks to take effect? That's why I'm getting my flu shot now, so I can outsmart the flu before there's an outbreak. At Walgreens, your flu shot even helps give a life-saving vaccine to a child in need through the UN Foundation. Get a shot, give a shot. Doubly smart. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Through August 31st, 2017, for every immunization given, Walgreens will donate 22 cents up to $2 million. Learn more at walgreens.com/get a shot. Vaccine restrictions apply.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports, like you, with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to KGYMradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
Because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great.
And we want to help you get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
Look at this one I caught. That fishing trip was awesome.
Yeah, I wish I could have gone.
I'm telling you, buddy, come work for Mediacom like me, and you can afford fishing trips, a motorcycle, all that stuff.
My job's okay.
Right. You never have any money.
I know.
Doing direct sales at Mediacom, I meet a lot of people, and I know the harder I work, the more I'll make.
You do make it sound pretty good.
It is good. Mediacomcable.careers, man. Just saying.
Live the life and get the stuff you want. Apply now to be a direct sales representative at Mediacomcable.careers.
Friday night, Metro Class 4A playoff teams from a year ago lock horns in a non-district showdown. This is Scott Unash. Join John Hagerty and me Friday night at 7 on 1600 AM and 107.5 FM from Kingston Stadium as the Jefferson Jayhawks take on the Kennedy Cougars. Kennedy is coming off a big road shutout win and meet a Jayhawk bunch looking for a victory. That's high school football presented by First Federal Credit Union, Jefferson at Kennedy. Friday night at 7 on 1600 AM and 107.5 FM, KGYM.
The Gym Class in the Gym, KGYM, Eastern Iowa Sports Talk Radio.
3:53, our thanks to Cal Eldred for joining us. Chris List joins us coming up tomorrow, Mark, and Carlos Mendez from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Talked with him last year. We're going to talk TCU football with him as the Horned Frogs and Iowa State meet Saturday early. That's an early game. It's an 11 o'clock kickoff. 9 o'clock is the pregame show on 1600 AM with a kickoff of just past 11.
Angry folks down there, I think, after losing to Arkansas.
Horned Frog is an angry frog, you know. They don't need an excuse to be an angry frog.
Text line 1431, how about playing Virginia in D.C.? I believe Miami was an independent in 91 and 92.
Okay.
I think so, too.
I think they were, too. I know they weren't yet in the ACC. So I got to think they were an independent at that point.
1545, Bob Cummings took his Wild Bunch fresh off a 7-6 upset of Penn State in 76 to USC and lost 55-0.
Yes, it was a different time. And by the way, everybody wanted to play Iowa back then.
The Gazette Sports headline the next day read, USC tames Wild Bunch 55-0. I remember well. That was my first year at the Gazette.
Did you write that headline?
I did not. I wasn't that quite that. I was just a part-timer then.
Oh, you weren't writing headlines?
No.
At that point. Yeah, I think in the late 70s, Iowa played Penn State, USC, and UCLA in 1 year.
That's one thing. Cummings pulled off some upsets. He beat UCLA
at home. I was there when he beat UCLA at Kinnick Stadium.
They were ranked in the top 25.
And then the next week lost to some directional school or something like that. Yeah, that's. But football was different back then. There were only 11 regular season games. You played all comers like that,
mm-hmm.
and Iowa did. And the week before, they were singing Bye Bye Bobby.
39-89, didn't Ron Gonder make a great call long ago about a streaker at then Iowa Stadium? Maybe around 67 or 68?
Yeah, Ron had some very memorable calls. What a guy. What a guy. No, only one. He's the lone remaining play-by-play man from the glory days of the three-headed monster of Iowa radio.
Ron had fun at it.
Oh, yeah. He and Mike Riley, they had you in stitches at times. Just had a ball doing that. Great man. See Ron every once in a while and say hi to him every time.
Poll question today. Can North Dakota State beat Iowa this Saturday? Yes or no? Right now it's 50-50.
Really?
Yeah.
Good to hear from our folks in Fargo, the Fargo-Moorhead area up in the Northwoods. Again, Carlos Mendez is going to join us coming up tomorrow from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. We're going to talk North Dakota State football, I believe, coming up on Friday on the eve of Iowa and North Dakota State. So that'll be coming up on that program. Reminder, also on Friday, APC is going to be down at Coach's Corner. They are at 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard, next to the fairway in the Walden Square in Iowa City. Your chance to win some KGYM swag and other prizes. Just make sure you get your ticket when you walk in the door coming up on Friday.
And we'll be there for breakfast. North Dakota State and Iowa kick off around 11 o'clock, and then we'll have the postgame show live from Coach's Corner after that one.
You guys are on your own this week.
Okay.
You and Tyler and Alex and Todd. Traffic willing.
Well, you have fun.
Whatever
you're doing.
I will. Interesting. We'll see how the schedule comes out. Still a ways off, 2019, obviously.
2235 reporting there's an accident on 380 South near Swisher.
Mm.
Be aware.
Okay, make alternate Travel plans, again, a little bit of a tie-up there, southbound I-380. Stay tuned, APC coming up next day. We'll have Kirk Ferentz audio from Iowa City today. We will talk to you tomorrow at 3 with the gym class here at KGYM.
The good news is that if you go to Buffalo Wild Wings, order from the Fast Break lunch menu, and don't get your food with